Recorded live from their studio in Los Angeles, California, it's Brett and Alex in the Super Beard Show. This week, the news. Is there more to perception than mere touch? And, as always, Patreon presents Fan Q&A. The date is May 20th, 2022. Support this podcast at patreon.com/superbeardbros. My name is Ted Coonrod. Enjoy the show.
Guys, welcome back to the fourth ever episode of Super Beard Show, Restaroni in Pepperonis. I'm Alex.
I'm Brett. Hi.
And in the back there, wiping his fingers off on the keyboard because I can't see him. I don't know what he's doing over there. He's making very little sound. He's a Milford man. Mm. Ted is there. How you doing, Ted?
Hi, I'm doing well. Thanks. Good. Thanks for having me.
Restaroni and Pepperonis is the name of the episode, brought to us by Eric.
Yep.
Thanks, Eric.
Eric S.
Making me hungry.
Yeah.
Legitimately.
You know, there is a place in Columbus, Ohio. I don't know where it originated. I'm going to guess Columbus. Mm. Called Mikey's Late Night Slice. Gerard always gets the name of this place wrong. He calls it like Mikey's Last Slice or something. So I can't remember what the actual name of it is now. It's distorted.
Okay.
But they're like one of these like very like stonerized pizza places. They just got all like kind of weird stuff. Like they do like a hot dog Hebrew National where the bun is a piece of pizza.
Or so Ninja Turtle shit.
Yeah. Or they'll do like, whatever you want to call it. They have two slices of pizza and then they put two slices of Kraft American cheese. They make a grilled cheese with pizza as the bread.
Terrible idea.
And they make like some weird sauces and stuff. But one of the crazy things they make is they make pepperoni chips by just putting pepperonis in a tray and then you dip them in like ranch
out of the oven. I'm out. I'm done with that.
Out of the oven. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Or blue cheese. I like them with blue cheese.
I'll just eat the pepperoni.
Yeah, you just like a little crispy boy?
Sure.
I dig that. I mean, you're not a dipper?
I just don't like ranch.
That's fair. What about unicorn sauce?
Why are you making things up?
I didn't make it up. It's kind of like, what's that sauce called? The like sweet chili sauce, like mambo sauce or something like that. It's kind of like in that zone. What?
Mambo sauce. Never heard of that. Like... I've never heard of that in my life.
Never heard of mambo sauce?
Mama loves mambo sauce.
I feel like you would love mambo sauce. Mm. Anyway, let's get into the news. All I got for you this week, Brett, is something that I think everybody who plays video games dreams about, or has at least thought about in the last couple years, which is I saw the tweet. Xboxes in stock, regular price. Go grab one. Walmart, go grab one. I jumped in. I actually was on time. I made it, added to cart, ordered it, and it came 2 days early. I got an Xbox Series X.
And that's the latest Xbox?
That's the big boy, the PS5. Yeah, the big boy. Yeah.
Because you know what their naming conventions, I can never keep
the fridge, if you will.
But are they hard to find?
They're becoming a little bit easier to find,
much like the PS5, where they are.
Same deal. Yeah. Same.
Really? Yeah. I didn't know that. Okay.
The one that wasn't was the S, the one with the big circle on it. Mm. The like one that kind of is just like an Xbox One.
You could make up 7 different Xboxes.
Yeah.
And tell me that they exist. I'd be like, oh yeah, I guess. Yeah. Cause I don't. Yeah.
I don't know. But those two big boys, hard to find. I happened to grab one for regular price, which is great. I gotta say, like, I'm very impressed. Like
with?
Just with everything about it. Like, do you remember when in like 2006, it was like PlayStation 3 dropped, 360 had been out for like
a year.
Yeah, not even a year, like eight or 9 months. And there was so much weird stuff about the PlayStation 3 for those first like 5 years or so of their console cycle that like, they never really had the majority, and it was like the glory days of Xbox 360. Like everybody was playing Xbox for years and years and years.
I remember that.
Yeah. And then I feel like by the end of that generation and into the next generation, because of the sort of way that the Xbox One was launched and communicated, PlayStation just kind of kept their momentum going through the PS4, and Xbox never really got to the top. But I think we're in that phase now where we're about to, the paradigm shift is coming.
You still haven't explained what you're impressed by.
I'm impressed by the fact that what Microsoft brings to the table when you buy a new console versus what Sony's bringing to the table when you buy a new console. Mm-hmm. Like, the stuff that Sony's doing, it's a fast PlayStation, but almost every game is like, you still have to buy it, and it's like an up-resed version of a game from PS4, or it's available on both. You know what I mean? The PS5 loads really fucking fast. The PS5 has a pretty interesting controller, and it has really good like heat management. It's been like taking game data and like sort of like using it to augment its fan usage during parts of the game based on how performance is with those games over time. It's kind of a neat thing that it does. Xbox does all those things as well. Xbox also has a thing where like all the games that you're playing, you can resume. I was like doing a trick for Kelly yesterday with my Xbox, like just swapping between games in like under 10 seconds from like midpoint in the game.
Whoa.
Which is pretty crazy. The weird thing about the Xbox is that it has the same exact OS as the previous Xbox. But I think that actually helps because it's like so snappy and fast. And then obviously Game Pass is made for the new Xbox.
Are you getting paid, Rick?
No, I'm just saying, like, I was mind blown.
Can I get money? Can I get paid?
I know. But I seriously, like, I really am impressed by how it's not just a crappy Xbox again. Everything feels good. Everything works well. The controller is nice. And I didn't pay for any video games. And I played Halo and Forza and Guardians of the Galaxy. Just a bunch of games. Like, that experience, if they're going to be this like scary Disney-esque company that's kind of like run video games and eat everything alive, right? I think it's interesting that they are doing so well from a user experience standpoint right now. And I wonder how long that's going to go. That's what I have to say about the Xbox. I'm very impressed that they seem to be gaining steam. And it's the first time also I did some research. They're outpacing the PlayStation in sales for the first time since launch. Pretty interesting.
All right. I'm glad you're enjoying your Xbox.
Do you have one?
No.
Do you have any do you like have an Xbox in your house that you use?
Not that I use, no.
No?
No.
Do you use Game Pass on your computer?
No.
Game Pass, pretty good.
Okay.
Pretty like
I feel like
pretty wild.
Are you gonna I feel like I'm gonna open your shirt and there's gonna be like a wire. Like I feel like you're trying to sell me Xbox right now.
I think just people are like kind of have this reaction to it where they're just kind of like cynical about Xbox.
Do you think I'm cynical about Xbox?
Just cynical in general about talking about that it's good.
You think I'm cynical?
Like you're like, you must be doing this for money.
Oh.
I mean, you're joking, obviously, yeah, but I mean, I'm saying in the real world, that point of view is there. Like, people only are praising it because they're rich and they like are paying for it. But honestly, I think as a full-on Sony fanboy who's like ride or die PlayStation, loves all the PlayStation games, and like I would say if I had to choose a side, which I never would do because I think that's childish and dumb, but like I would say probably that like it's like Coke versus Pepsi. Like I don't know. It's like when I took the blind taste test and I like Pepsi.
I would never choose a side. But I'm about to.
I just think it's stupid. If I was forced to choose which one I like support, I would choose PlayStation. What's my home console? I would have said PlayStation up until the other day. And I'm very impressed with how it's doing. That's all. Okay. I think it's interesting that it's doing so well right now.
All right. I'm glad you're enjoying your Xbox.
Yeah. It's weird because they're like going to be our overlord soon, but I.
Oh, fun.
So far, I'm feeling good.
So far, I am not oppressed.
The drills are only partially embedded in my skull. Mm-hmm. And they're going to hit my cortex in the next couple months. It's going to be great.
Yeah. They've fitted me already from my little clear pod where they're going to pump in the pink goo so I can get plugged right into that matrix. I've already fitted me and it feels great.
Yeah. What do you got?
I got something that I find fascinating. It's not necessarily news, but it's, you know how it is.
Like, me buying an Xbox also is not news.
Are you sure?
it's a great value.
I find
it's a wonderful, restaurant.
I just find it fascinating, man. And I feel a little bit bad for two reasons. Number one, like I'm going to talk about this. We're going to do it.
Yeah.
But number one, I feel bad because This might take a while, right?
We're going to get
just
into
the concept because I really want not only you two in the room to understand it, but also everybody at home to understand it, which leads me to the second thing I kind of feel bad about, which is that like visual aids really help with this concept.
Yeah.
And this is a podcast. So sorry, folks. Maybe we'll post a picture of this shitty ass like
on the
thing that I've got.
Because
I've
Discord got, or something.
I've got a piece of paper in front of me. And I've got some markers because I'm going to show like to, you know, to help us understand like, you know, what we're talking about today. And what we're talking about today is music.
Okay.
Because what I find fascinating are what I like to call the missing 41. You know what? The missing 41
sounds probably, like a sci-fi show.
Yeah. Right. You don't like, you probably never heard about it because it's not even actually called that, but I think about it as the missing 41. Right.
Okay.
And it relates to like, how in music we have generally 12 tones, right? Roughly, right? Does that make sense? 12
like,
tones
like
on a scale?
It, yeah, sure, yeah.
Does that make sense to you, Ted? You know what I'm talking about? 12 tones?
Yeah, like A through G, sharp and flat and all that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like the 12 notes on a piano before it repeats itself.
Yeah.
But, you know, an octave, right? 12 notes in that scale. But, like, you know, just what I find fascinating is, like, how did we...
At least on our scale, right?
How do we get to that number? Yeah. You know what I mean? Why 12? And really it has to do with a lot of math. Because like what I have here, okay, so I'm going to show these guys what I have drawn here. It's a piece of paper. It's a regular blank white piece of paper, but it's in landscape mode, right? It's on its side. And on the right side of the paper, I've drawn like I took red. It's a red line, just a regular line from top to bottom on the far right side of that piece of paper, roughly. And then in the middle, like going to the left now, in the middle of that piece of paper, that's about and it's about I'm trying to do exactly half the height of that first red line is another red line. So in the middle of the paper, about half the height of the red line on the right side of the paper is another red line going all the way down. And then all the way to the left side of the paper, all the way hugging the left side of the paper is another red line. This one is half the height of that middle red line.
It looks like a really spaced out, like if you took the like reception bar.
That's exactly what it is.
If you took the five reception bars and you took out the two, like the second one.
And the fourth one.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's exactly
what we're talking about, right?
Yeah.
So I'm going to make that second and fourth cell phone bar.
Yeah.
Right? So we have cell phone bars 1, 3, and 5, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to make cell phone bars 2 and 5. And here's the way I'm going to do it. Sorry, 2 and 4.
Yeah.
First of all, think of these bars as like guitar strings, right? Each of them represent, each of them would like, if you plucked it, they would make a fucking tone.
Yeah.
Right. If you were to take a guitar string and cut it exactly in half, exactly.
Like long way.
Yes, if you were bisecting. Yeah. No, not longer. If you were to take a guitar string and cut it in half, which I've kind of done on this piece of paper for you guys, if you're following at home so far, it would make the same tone, just an octave lower.
Right? Exactly half.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like somewhere over the rainbow interval, right? Like la, la, right? Mm-hmm. And then if you did that again, it would be an octave, not lower, but higher, right? It'd be an octave higher.
Yeah, because the tighter
The tinier the fucking string, the higher the tone. Has to do with frequencies and shit, right? Makes sense. Well, if we kept applying that same logic, let's say we took the middle string, right? That one that's halfway between all three strings.
This is the second cell phone bar?
Yep.
Oh, no, the third.
Well, the second one that we have on the paper so far.
Yeah,
right?
The middle one, yeah.
If you took that if you took that and cut it in half, right? You would get the one that's down here, right? So you basically take that one, but like, you know, don't even worry about that. Like, just take the one in the middle and cut it in half, right?
Yeah. You're the mutant.
You take one of those halves and multiply it by 3. So you're stacking 3 of the little ones on top of each other.
So you're like a 75.
Kind of. The math, don't worry about actual numbers because you'll see why later.
Well, half and like half of half is a quarter, three quarters. Mm-hmm.
Don't worry about the numbers yet.
Okay,
trust me. So we're taking the middle bar, right?
Yeah.
And if you were to cut that in half and then multiply it by 3 roughly, right?
Yeah.
Let's say you'd be, I don't know, maybe right around, ooh, I'm using a blue marker now. and it's kind of between the middle bar and the right bar. I've drawn one that's like a...
It's cell phone bar four.
Yeah, basically cell phone bar four, right?
It's exactly... I mean, I'm not going to say exactly because
yeah, there's no way I'm exact. Yeah, that'd be incredible, man.
It's halfway between the height of the other two.
Right. So then if you were to do the... do the same thing with this that we did to the red bars. Basically, take half that bar, cut it in half, and then that's, you know, roughly our cell phone bar.
Same thing. Should be about number halfway two. Between the height of the other two.
Right?
Yeah.
And then basically it looks something like that, right?
Yeah.
So what we did, once again, was we took our, like we drew our three bars, one, two, three, and then we took the one in the middle, cut it in half, took one of those halves, multiplied that by three, and then that multiplied by three became bar four, right? Making, you know, a new tone. And then we took that bar, cut it in half like we did this whole process with the red bars, and that gave us our bar two, you know what I mean? Right. The cell phone bars. But now the cell phone bars analogy is going to start falling apart because we're going to have way more than five fucking bars.
We're going high def cell phone bars.
Yeah, right? Like so many bars, you can't even fucking, you know, you can't even fathom it.
That guy lost his job.
But the reason we're going to get to this is because we're just going to keep applying the same process, right? So what we're going to do is, if I remember my music theory correctly, you're going to take the fourth bar, you know, the like, let's say the blue one that we just made.
Yeah.
The one that was made up of three of the littlest red bars. We're going to take bar number four. And we're going to cut that in half, which basically makes, you know, fucking the bar number two.
Right.
And I understand. I really apologize, guys at home, if it's hard to, you know, understand this stuff. But basically, we're just continuing this ratio of one to two and then two to three.
Yeah.
Or one to two, two to three. So we're taking this blue bar, cutting it in half. We'll get this guy, and then you take three of those. That would be all the way over here.
It'd be very taller. Large. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and we can't see it on our page. That would, like, for those of you at home, if we did what I just said, take bar four, cut it in half, which basically gives you bar two, and then take three bar two, stacking on top of each other. That would be so large, it would be off the page that we have right now. It would be bigger.
Bar six?
Something like that. Yeah. Right? Yeah. Basically bar six. But that, like, it's there, right? But if you picture that that's there, we can continue to make our lines, right? So if that's bar six, which would be right around here-ish,
yeah.
If you were to cut that in half, it would be, you know, probably right around here. And then you can cut, so that between, like, bars, now we've made a yellow bar between bars three and four, so now the numbers mean nothing, right? But that's okay, because right. You're getting the idea. And then you can continue and just cut that in half.
It's like a continuously, like, almost like a gravity magic. It just constantly cuts everything in half.
Exactly, yeah. Right? You get the idea. So then you would take that yellow bar that we have on page, cut that in half, multiply it by three, put it where it goes, just forever and ever on and on and on. But the point is, here's what we can glean from this, right? Understanding that if we do this, none of these tones, none of them will sound the same as something that's already here, right? Right. Like,
can't make it on
does that
a
make sense to you,
can't
Ted?
Make it on a piano.
Ted, does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
Right. Like,
if you make too many strings, mm-hmm. there won't be enough keys on the piano to play them all.
Like, in this process of having and then multiplying by three, we will never create another tone that exists already that we've cut. And
right.
Made.
It will be like slightly different. Yeah.
Right. And then it's just a process of doing it over and over and over again. Right. But then there's like a certain like magic. There's at a certain point. Here's what we have to realize before we continue. It's very easy for the people in the studio to see, but maybe at home you guys can't understand it, so I'll describe it to you. As we continue, we realize that like these bars are not all equidistant from each other, right?
Right.
There's gaps, right? However, if at a certain point we can close those gaps where it'll seem like there are no gaps and that things are indeed equidistant from each other.
It would just be like a ramp.
Yeah, and it'll look like a pure almost Ziffian fucking ramp, right?
Like a 45 degree angle, pretty much.
That point is 12. What I'm saying is, right now,
an order of 12, you mean?
No, what I'm saying is, right now, let's say that this were, okay, so from the space from one red bar to another, that's an octave. That's one of the first things we establish, right?
Yeah.
The space from one red bar to another is an octave. If I left there, as for those of you at home, I've only done four steps, right? I've got red, yellow, purple, and blue bars. Right. I've done this process four times. Let's say I left it at that.
That's your 12 notes.
It's not 12, but like we're just talking about what's between the red bars.
Oh, between them.
In a scale, right?
Yeah.
Like in an octave. Right now, that would be four notes in an octave, right?
Right.
We could do that. We could. Like if we just left out a bunch of fucking notes.
Yeah, you just skip the like certain tones wouldn't be in music.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But the way that this is represented spatially on this paper and the way that that one is actually represented in science with the frequencies, those frequencies are like, this looks kind of random, like with the way that these bars, like there's some of them are very close to together and others have like these wide, huge gaps between them and shit. And that's because with this process, these bars are placed in very specific spots, right? Based on their actual frequencies.
It has to do with being able to tell the difference between the sounds, between the notes?
Yes. That's like the reason, the locations that these bars get placed on the quote unquote page has to do with how they would actually sound in real life and the frequencies at which they would vibrate. Right.
Cool.
So then if I only had these four, the way that they're placed on the page, like there's clearly gaps there, right? Like at a certain point, the gap between blue and red is huge. And you're like, where the fuck are all those notes? Right. So let's say we continue to fill them in. I'm not going to do it right here on my paper, but like at home in your imagination, let's say we continue to fill them in. The point at which the bars would appear all equidistant from each other and look pleasing to the eye is 12 notes per octave.
There's something divine about it?
It's not divine. It's literally just fucking math.
Well, that's what I mean. Like the golden ratio. There's like a music one that's like based on human ears. And yeah.
If I continue this process of taking the last bar we made, cutting it in half, taking that, multiplying it by three, and then cutting that in half, 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 all the way down. 12 is when things would look equidistant. But we don't have to stop there, right? Like,
yeah, like in a theoretical sense, there's infinity notes.
Well, let's take it just one step further.
Yeah.
If things were equidistant, like if the bars looked pretty,
right,
at 12 notes, 12 fucking strings,
just purely with the intention of making them spaced equally apart. Yeah.
If they looked pretty there, and then we did it the third, and then we did one more, it would look something like this. So just so you guys know, I'm going to use a slightly off red color. It's still red, but it's not the exact same red. It would be like this. First of all, where they would fall frequency wise on the page, if you will, is super fucking close
to
the original quote unquote red bars where we started. Right. Not only that, their actual frequencies would be super fucking close to those red bars.
Almost undetectably different
for humans.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Just based on where it was, right? Mm-hmm. But then you don't have to. So that's number 13, quote unquote, right? Then we have an octave with 13 notes in it. And then not only that, all of a sudden we have like 12 perfectly spaced notes, except for that one that has like one weird cousin next to it, right?
Same, yeah.
So then let's just keep going, right? Let's do it 11 more times so that we have 12 pairs, right? And you can do that. Then the math would work out like boom, 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 boom. And then all of a sudden you have this, all these bars, and it would just be, it would be 24, right? But that wouldn't be enough. You can keep fucking going. If you went to 24, it still wouldn't be even.
Really?
Yes.
That's so weird. That seems like it would be even.
I think it has to do with just the frequencies.
Just, yeah, I guess.
This is much easier to see on a computer.
Yeah, but there is some sort of constant in there that's making it not be a perfect result every time.
Yeah, like it's not like even at 12, it's not perfect, right? Like that's the important thing to remember too. At 12, even though they look equidistant, they are slightly not. They are practically equidistant, but they're not exactly. So if you were to try and continue, like, let's just keep going until we hit actual equidistance, right? Yeah,
perfect.
If you were to keep going, the next time you would hit like a piece of paper where it looks like all the bars are equidistant is 53.
53 notes in an octave?
Really? Yes.
That means that there are 53 individual notes before you get from la to la. That means there's 53 fucking notes between those as opposed to the 12 that we usually use in our music.
I wonder if you knock them off from the notes that we know the same amount of notes for each note. Like, let's say on that 53 note scale, if you just knock them all off by one,
mm-hmm.
Like from where it would be on a piano.
Yeah.
I wonder if you listen to the same piece of music.
Would you be able to tell the difference?
Yeah. Well, actually, now that I'm saying it out loud.
Yeah. You're getting it.
There's a band called Unicorns, and they recorded their whole record, Who Will Cut Our Hair When We're Gone, one half tone down.
Interesting.
Not one note down, but one half tone down.
So here's the thing. What you just described happens all the time, right?
By accident?
Yeah, just due to natural sounds, right?
Like we can't tell between
like
10 of the notes or whatever.
If you were tuning your guitar, you can hear some of those notes between, you know, one and two, the one and two semitones. When you tune it up, like boom, 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 you know what I mean? There are so many notes there. In fact, it's infinite, right? Like, look, if we went back to our model, our piece of paper, and just kept going, like, right? Like, let's say once we get to 53, right? That's when it starts to look equidistant again, right? It's like, hold on, this looks 53. Pretty good.
53.
53 notes. Imagine that's why I said the missing 41.
Like, it would be like one octave on a piano.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Right? But it still isn't quite perfect. It's not equidistant. So you can keep going again. And I think the next time you hit equidistance is like 300 something.
That's ridiculous.
You know what I mean? But of course, that's not perfect either. So it keeps going and going, and you're never going to hit it because
playing the arpeggio would just be like,
ooh. Yeah. We have to stop between each one.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it'd be shitty.
It's like the decimal infinity between one and two.
That's precisely what we're talking about here. It's the difference between, it's the same relationship between colors on a color wheel. If you go red to orange, there's infinite colors between red and orange, right?
It's weird because I can tell when, like, well, I don't play guitar that often anymore, but like when I was in my band, I could tell right away when something was out of tune.
That's because we're very used to certain sounds.
Yeah.
But like those sounds don't have to be what people use, which is kind of why I brought this up in the first place. This is why I find it fascinating. The reason we have 12 is because the next ones would be 53, which and if you like, if you have a piano, right? Pianos can have they can play what? There's 88 keys. So I don't know how many octaves that is, like fucking
five, six,
like a good amount, right? Like six or something like that. If octaves instead had technically more accurate and precise, but 53 notes per octave, instruments would be so different.
Edward Scissorhands would be like, he wouldn't have been a barber. He would have been a piano player.
But think about a guitar. Like how would a guitar chord work?
It would suck. You couldn't play it.
Yeah. How would a saxophone work? Like, it'd be shitty.
You need like for like a Jabba the Hutt puppet. You need like a couple guys. You need
fucking Randy the Witch, right? So like the reason that it's 12 is because it's like the most practical number that maintains relative equidistance between all the notes in an octave.
Spans the octave, and it's enough to tell, like, bop, 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 bop,
yeah,
bop,
it's, bop. Yeah, they're equidistant, and they're all different enough from each other. But, once again, to go back to what you were talking about, Alex, it's music isn't perfect. And these, quote-unquote, you know, like hidden tones, the hidden 41 or the hidden 290 something or whatever.
Whatever the fuck, yeah.
Right, however much you want to do it. Those hidden quote unquote notes, the secret character notes, we use them all the time. It's just that we don't recognize them because like
we put stank if on
Freddie
something.
Mercury's up there on stage and he's singing like, you know, right? Like, sure, we know the notes for that, but like, he's not singing perfectly, but it's like, it's imperceptible, those imperfections.
It's like still on the bullseye circle.
It's close enough, yeah. Right? It's like, it's the leniency.
It's not in the middle, but
it's like the linking leniency in Street Fighter V. Like, if you press, if you have like a one frame link, if you press it within three frames, like, yeah, you're fine.
Yeah.
That's the leeway that our ears give us. But not everybody works like that.
Oh,
there are some people out there
perfect pitch.
Yeah. Super, like, there's a difference. So I have relative pitch, right? If you tell me like sing Thriller, I can sing Thriller in the tone, in the key that it was actually is in the music video and shit.
Oh, I don't know if I can do that.
I don't know. We'll try that maybe at a later date. But that's relative pitch, which is common as fuck.
I think that's what most people would think is perfect pitch.
No. Perfect pitch is when they can do that. Plus they go like sing an A and they go there.
Yeah, Kelly can do that.
Nick, get the fuck out of here. Yeah. Bullshit. Really?
Dude.
Did she study music?
No. When we were recording with Jake Kaufman for B3, she did like a little, like we had like a couple people come and do some cameos in the last song.
Yeah.
And she was like just singing and he was telling her what to sing. And he was like, cause he's like got perfect pitch.
Uh huh.
He was mixing harmonies without listening to them back, which was crazy.
Okay. But like, if you say it a note, could she sing it?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That's perfect pitch.
He was like, I think you might have perfect pitch. Sing a B. Mm-hmm. And she like did.
Got it. So whoa. then there's super perfect pitch, which is like mutants,
like super tasters. Basically.
Basically people that can go when they hear like if they're walking down the street, and they hear the sound effect for that helps blind people cross the street. Pew, pew. They're like, not only are they like, not only is that a D, it's like two.
That's 117.
That's like, it's like it's like two millitones above a D. You know what I mean? So like,
that's insane.
Yeah. Like they're hearing the hidden 41.
How could you possibly, I mean, I guess you can do anything.
Right. Because here's how that happens.
Like Bruce Lee
exists. Everyone in this room right now can hear the difference between an A and a G. You may not know that they're different notes, or you may not know that one's an A and one's a G. You can definitely hear the difference. We can do that. But there are some people who can't even do that.
Yeah, that's
some people are real tone deaf. Yeah, sure. There's tons of tone deaf motherfuckers out there. But just like we look at them and go, how can you not? There's probably people that look at us and be like, how do you not know this is a B when you hear it? You know what I mean? People are just different. So yeah, that's my news. My news is, a lot of people out there, the reason I brought this up is because like a lot of people probably don't think about music that way. And I find it fascinating, the idea that what we think of as music, all the music out there, the tones that are used to make up all the music we've ever listened to are generally really close to really close to these 12 fucking pitches. But there are so many other sounds that exist between them, but we just don't use them for the sake of like practicality.
Actually being able to learn to play music.
Practicality and like making sure that our music will sound good with the rest of the music that we have.
I wonder what the most infamously frustrating like big songs are for people who are like savant note hearers. I wonder if there's like some specific songs that are like notoriously like,
that's interesting.
They fly completely under the radar to me, but are like infuriating to those people.
Cause it's like, it's full of little things being off.
I wonder what they think of that Unicorns album where they recorded the whole thing a half step down. I bet you it's not actually.
It's probably accurate. Not that bad, because if the whole thing is down, the worst part would be like, if you just put two down a little bit out of 12, you know?
Oh yeah.
So yeah, there's my news. If you guys want to learn more about it, you can read about it in the Bible.
Discord is relative. Bingo.
Sweet.
Love that. What's up next?
Okay, let's continue.
Yeah.
With a question. I have a question for y'all.
Oh boy, here we go.
How many senses do we have?
Oh boy. Five? What is the...
Right. Yeah. That's what we grew up with, right?
What is it? Smell, taste, touch, hearing?
Yeah.
And smell, I see taste, dead
touch,
people.
Hearing. I thought you were going to sing smell again. Smell, taste, touch, hearing, smell.
Smell, taste, touch, hearing, smell. Smell, taste, touch, hearing.
You're missing a big one.
Sight?
There it is.
There it is.
Yeah. What about you, Ted? What do you think?
Same answer.
Really? Okay.
I think we're dumber. I think how do I put this? Like graphics engines. Sorry. You know what I mean? Like graphics engines, like yes, they like render images and nowadays they try to like appropriate reality in some way. Like they try to like sometimes seem photoreal, like the Unreal Engine, for example, can achieve like cinema quality reality. You can like use it as a background.
Okay.
But it's still filled with like tricks and little efficiency processes that trick the eye into seeing something that's a little bit more detailed than it actually is.
Okay.
I feel like that's the case with a lot of like, I think our brain stuff boils down to like a few little things, and we, the computer that has access to those instruments, sort of like does a lot of like inferring and processing of that information to like give us access to more data than we would have just raw data from the census. That's what I think.
So are you still saying five?
Or? I think we have five, but I think like what we do with those five senses, you know, like in the way that simple machines can allow us to do more complex tasks.
Like if you took half of the last sense and multiplied it by.
Boo.
Like I remember something about like, you can't actually tell that your skin is wet, but you just know it is because like your brain is like, oh yeah, I can tell like because of how it feels and like some stuff there's water there. That's my best guess. Mm. Or like when you're looking around, like, you know, your body sort of like processes the data and gives you like a spatial awareness when really you're not even looking at a three-dimensional thing.
Okay. So yeah. We all know that the original five, right?
You're going five. Yeah.
And that's a safe bet because it's like what we're taught. It comes from fucking ancient Greece, actually. Like it's been around. It's based on like, you know, observable evidence and shit like that. Makes a lot of sense. But there's also other stuff. Like if you just sit and think about it, like there's other stuff that we can sense, right? Like Ted's sitting in a chair right now. But Ted, if you start to lean back in that chair, and like you started to tip over, you could tell when that's happening, right? But like, what sense is that?
Sight. Equilibrium?
Sight? Bullshit. Because when that happens, when you're asleep and your eyes are closed, you know when that's happening already.
Well, but that's what I'm saying. Like, it's data. Like, it's like.
But which sense is it?
It's a little bit your touch and a little bit.
You like, think it's touch?
A little bit. Like,
why is that? What are you touching?
Well, your organ.
No, it's like,
which organ? Which one?
Like whatever, well, whatever you changes like pressure.
Inner ear. Yeah, that's right. That's right. We do have like an inner ear.
Yeah, like whatever chamber changes pressure and orientation. Like it's touch in a way, but it's also like giving you like a very clear, like gyroscopic.
Okay. Reading. Okay. But if that's touch, isn't sound touch?
Yeah.
So it's all touch to you. So we have one sense.
Well, but touch, I mean, I don't know. I think it's a philosophical question, a scientific question.
That's what I'm saying. Like, how many senses do we have?
Philosophically?
I don't know.
I think we have five. I think that's fine.
What does that mean? Wait. Let's not put this in a box because it is convenient. Let's try and figure out how many senses we have, right?
I think taste.
So you said the equilibrium thing is part of touch because there's something going on in our ear that touches something else. All right, I'm fine with that. But based on that same logic, hearing is also touch because that's just vibrations that they're being.
But touched. How are you reading them?
What do you mean?
Like I could vibrate over here,
mm-hmm.
and it vibrates your ear.
Yeah.
But what's picking up the data? What's the record player? Like what's changing it into sound? What's changing it into another vibration? Like, you know, like how does your brain process a vibration as audio?
I don't know. The signal gets sent through the ear, the like inner chamber, and then signals get electrically interpreted in your brain and you hear a sound.
I think that I would be comfortable the line that we're talking right now saying that sound is touch. Mm-hmm. I think a hard one for me is...
Wait, so you just said that you do believe that sound is part of touch, actually?
If we're going to like go like kind of philosophical about it and like... kind of break it away from established science a little bit. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I think that I'm going to go with sound is touch. Mm-hmm. I think it's, there's a good case for taste as a sense.
Yeah. What about smell?
And I think smell and taste are the same. And I think that,
Wait. But smell has to do with particles hitting our nose. That's touch. It touches that, right?
It touches it, but it has to do with what you're reading more data off of it than just the feeling of it hitting you.
What data? It's touching.
No, you're tasting it. Like you're getting a different sensation based on the composition of
how
what it is.
How, based on your logic, how is smelling something different from hearing something? It's an external stimulus being picked up by a part of your body based on like touching, like based on what you said. Like if we're using the logic from the equilibrium inner ear thing and the balance.
It's purely the vibration with sound.
Yeah, but a vibration. No. Air molecules. The molecules are touching you.
The vibration of the molecules mm-hmm. is what's causing the sound. But with taste, it's mm-hmm. like a chemical reaction. Like yeah. it's.
But that chemical has to touch you.
Yeah, it's a touch, but that's not the sense of touch. You're not feeling.
Then how is hearing the sense of touch?
Because there's no other, like the sound is audible. I don't know how to describe that better. It's all the same material. It's like the same force that's causing sound. That's causing. Like the idea that you can touch something, like the reason I can feel this is because of friction. You know what I mean? It's vibration, and there's a sound that goes with it. And I think that everything that you touch makes a sound. And I think like touching your mouth with food.
That's not true.
Yeah.
If I'm touching air, which I am, it's not making a sound.
If I like zoomed in and slowed it down and listened, I could hear like a.
The same thing goes for if you were like a piece of pollen were to hit your olfactory senses.
100%. And you would hear it and you could touch it. But I also think that in addition to that, being able to taste the flavors of different things is not just based off it coming into contact with your body. Like,
is it not?
It's not just an organ that feels vibrations in the way that your ear is.
It's not.
No,
that's what the tongue is for. It tastes.
Yeah, it doesn't. It tastes not vibrations.
No, it's not vibrations, but you have to touch something. You have to touch it to taste it.
Right, but I feel like you're not hearing what I'm saying.
No, not.
I think vibrations alone does not a taste make. I think vibrations are touch.
Okay, then why aren't smells touch? In order to smell something, a particle has to hit, go into your fucking nose.
Things smell different, and it's not just because of the way they're vibrating.
I'm not talking about vibrations. Get vibrations out of your head.
Touch. There's like the touch. Like, how do I describe this? Like, if I had a marker mm-hmm. and I touched it to something, mm-hmm. If that thing was paper, mm-hmm. it would leave its marking because the paper absorbs it.
Okay.
Right? And then something happens that keeps it there. You know what I mean? Like it stays something, like it bonds to the,
okay, sure,
whatever. Like if I touch the marker to something else, something different happens because the thing that, and, or if I touch a rock to the paper,
yeah,
like it's not the same data that's planted there. And it's not just visual data. It's like actual two different materials touching the paper and leaving a mark behind. I think that beyond the touch, the data that is being generated by your mouth is made from something other than just reading the touch. Like it's sensing things.
Let's slow this down. You're saying that inner ear equilibrium is basically just touch because different things are touching each other in your inner ear when you like fall over, letting you know that you're lost balance, correct?
Yeah.
You're saying that sound is basically just touch because vibrations, air molecules are touching your inner ear and letting
and
you
it
know.
Is the motion itself, the touching itself, that is creating the sense. The actual disturbance caused by the action of the touch, or like the touch, the sensation of touch.
Well, so, but the action of smelling a flower, that, you know, that material, the molecules that provide aroma,
yeah,
are hitting your
right
inner nose.
And then what?
And then you smell it.
How can you tell the difference between the molecules if there was two molecules made of two different things that touched you that felt the same? Like there's another element there.
Hmm? What?
Like I could give you four pieces of plastic, for example, and like if you could touch each one and they would be the same and they would be different colors, right? Because there's an extra element, which is the color of the thing, right? And for me, the tongue, it's like, yeah, the touch is there to activate. Like it, when you touch it, like activates that part of the tongue to do the thing that it does, which is read the chemicals.
Yeah.
But it's not just based on touch.
Then neither is hearing.
The sense of touch that I'm talking about is not just based on, is based on me causing a vibration.
Vibration?
Yeah.
You don't necessarily need to have vibration in order for your touch to, you know, get set off.
I think you do.
Not necessarily.
I think there needs to be movement.
Not necessarily. Like
even when you're pressing on something, like you're slightly shifting your skin on it to feel the sensation.
Okay, but even if you were perfectly still, you could still feel something.
I don't think you could. If you were
literally, if I had a wristwatch and I put it on my wrist and I weren't fucking touching it, I could still feel something on my wrist. That's touch. It's not moving.
It is moving.
What, because of the motion of the fucking molecules?
Dude, everything's like, nothing's even actually touching. Like,
I understand that, but by that same logic, smell and taste are molecules as well. They're fucking moving. They're moving.
They're moving, but there's more to it than that.
What is the more?
You have other, you're reading more data besides the vibration. You're reading the chemical makeup. I'm telling you, that fires off like a, there's like,
slow down, Alex. You have
an array in your mouth of things that are built to taste different things. Your tongue has different places on the tongue that have different equipment to not just the whole tongue.
Like, Alex, the reason that I can feel my wristwatch isn't due to the vibrations of the molecules.
No, it's due to the vibration of the wristwatch against your arm.
No, it's not vibrating. It's not vibrating.
Dude, it is vibrating.
No, it's a wristwatch.
Everything is always like moving. It's like a vibration. I'm not saying like vibration.
Yeah, you're talking about the movement agitation. Of the molecules, right?
Agitation.
You're talking about the movement of the molecules that make up the material. Is that what you're talking about?
I'm talking about like.
Yes or no? Are you talking about?
No.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about the whole object. Like if you just zoom in, like this stuff, it's inanimate.
Yes.
It's sitting here on the table. It's a mouse sitting on wood.
Yes.
It's still moving a little bit. Like if I touch it, right? I'm putting force against it and my finger is like being resisted a little bit by the table as I push. And that's, I'm still only reading that because I'm.
So now go back to the mouse on the table. You're saying the mouse on the table is moving and you're not talking about the movement of its fucking molecules that make it up. It's moving.
Yeah. Like the earth is moving.
The earth is moving.
Like if you put like a sensor on this that was high fidelity enough, you would detect the fact that the motion of the earth is slightly causing this mouse to move, even though for all intents and purposes, it's not moving.
Okay, right? So you're talking about this mouse being carried by the movement of the earth through space?
I'm talking about the mouse being a still object that we can both agree is totally still.
It is still,
but the only reason that I can feel it when I touch it is that the texture of the surface...
Mm-hmm.
And my finger, I can't hold my finger perfectly still. And the mouse is not.
That's not true.
Still, because
the reason you can feel that mouse, it has nothing to do with you not being able to hold perfectly still.
What do you mean?
Let's say you were able to hold your body perfectly still or whatever, right? Yeah. Which is why I gave the wristwatch example, right? There's a difference between like your extremity. Everybody like trembles a little bit. Fine. If I wanted to like remove that as much as possible, right? Like, you know, if somebody were perfectly still, they could still feel something on them.
Yeah, but like when I'm in my house sitting there and they're knocking down a house two houses away, I can feel it.
Yeah, I understand that. Yeah. That has to do with
vibrations.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's what touches.
No. So you can feel, okay, so if you're sitting in your house and someone's knocking down the house and you feel those vibrations, right?
Yeah.
That's not necessarily touch.
What is it?
Well, it could be anything. It could be like, it could be linked to your sense of balance, right? Because if you feel like, oh shit, like you're not necessarily touching anything, but like something is fucking like making your house sway or something like that.
I think that touch has to do with vibrations traveling through the air and in between objects that are touching each other.
I think that's where you're fucked up because touch doesn't necessarily have to do with you're describing like sound. Like touch doesn't necessarily have to do with vibrations.
I think sound is an audio sensation that's created by the same input as touch. Like everything makes a sound that moves.
Okay, I'll give you that.
Yeah.
As long as it's in a medium that carries sound. I'll give you
yeah.
that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But
I mean, it still makes the sound. It just doesn't
no.
carry the sound.
No, because sound needs a medium in order to survive, like fire needs oxygen.
Like, that's what I mean. Like, it's not like...
If you did something in space, there would be no sound.
Right, because you can't hear it. But it wouldn't, like the science would still be the same. Actually, it wouldn't, because it would be kind of floating, but that's kind of different.
But it's not like the sound is there and it just can't get carried. Like, there would be no sound.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, it wouldn't be generated, but the same principle is still happening. Like, when you're touching something.
So what I'm trying to So what I'm trying to get through to you is that, like, you're making the claim that, like, all this stuff has to do with, like, touching, and, like, I'm following you there. Honestly, yeah. That's fine if you want to categorize things that way. But I think where the discrepancy occurs is where you try to describe that some things are vibrating and some things are not, or some things are touching and some things are not. For example, if you taste something, in order to taste something, something has to literally, quote unquote, touch or interact with you.
Yes, that's true. And I don't think that you're ever not using your sense of touch when you're tasting something.
Okay.
I think that, you know, what you would say when you taste food, like something like it's crispy or something like that, I think is coming from your sense of touch for sure. But I think also like it's sour or it's sweet.
That's what I'm talking about.
Absolutely not coming just from your sense of touch. Like I can touch with any finger the table and it is the same. But if I use different parts of my tongue to touch the table, it would taste different because the tongue is an instrument for sensing something different than just.
But I can apply that to touch as well. If I touch.
It has more equipment than my fingers. No.
If I touch the table with two different fingers, it will feel differently to me. Like it might be imperceptible, but the same thing could probably go for your tongue too. If somebody licks this fucking table, maybe one person goes, holy shit, this part of the table or with this side of my, or with this side of the table tastes this way, or this side of the table tastes this way. And similarly, if I touch with one of my fingers versus the other, it could feel two different ways depending on how sensitive those fingers are.
How sensitive they are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But what if this, like I think taste is different. I think taste has an indescribable element to it.
Let's describe it then. Like, I don't think there's anything in it.
It's a chemical thing. Like,
yes, it is. But like, so are all of these.
I don't think so. There's chemicals that fire in your brain elsewhere to tell you information.
All right, let's go to sight.
Yeah.
Light has to hit your eyes. Is that not touch?
It's not touch because light is not tangible.
It's not touchable like with our fingers, sure.
You can't like feel just light without heat. I mean.
But your eyes can detect light. Like. Something in your eyes is detecting the light.
If your eyes are closed, you can still detect light.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's something in your eyes that can detect light, but the light has to hit that certain part of your eye to register, correct?
Yeah.
Has to come into contact with, right?
A specific part of your body.
But literally, we're talking about coming into contact with, right?
Yeah.
Coming into contact is touch.
It's touching, but you're not sensing touch. You're not sensing the touch. You're not like, I know there's light because I can feel it physically hitting my eyes.
Yes, that's just what we call sight. Once again,
feeling that's what I'm saying. Like,
yeah.
That's the difference. The thing that's making you call it sight versus touch is the difference. And I just think that with sound, I think it's a little bit different. Because I think that the sense of touch and the sense of sound are, I think, pretty much the same.
But based on that logic, like it's not the same. Like you say, like you wouldn't say that you can touch, your eyes are touching the light. You wouldn't say that your fucking ears are touching the sound. You're like,
I mean, it's not touching I mean, it is. Yeah, it is.
But you wouldn't say that. Like if
you're picking it up through the air, you're
just like your eyes are picking up through the air, the light.
Well, you're directly getting the light in your eyes. Like the light is
traveling
going
through
into
a medium.
Yeah, but it's going into your eyeball. Actual light is going into your eyeball.
And air molecules carrying a vibration literally goes into your ear.
Right, but there's no sound molecule. Like there are taste molecules and there are like things that make food taste a certain way. And there are things like light is like different. It's literally different particles.
There are sound waves. We're talking about sound waves.
But sound waves aren't made of anything.
Energy. They're, sound waves. There are actual sound waves.
But they don't, there's not a unit of sound. There's not a
decibels.
It's a that's a measurement. It's not yeah. there's not like a
you talking about a sound particle?
Yeah, there's no sound particle.
Well, light isn't made of particles either.
It's photons. Yes, it is.
But photons can necessarily like possibly be light or it could be energy or matter.
Right, but they are but light is made of photons, but there is no like auton. There's no physical sound. It's just a touch. That's what I'm saying. Like taste and light going into your eyes, I think are a little different because you're doing a physical process with external stimuli that's not just.
So to you, a sense is based off of a unique particle?
Well, like I'm not a fool. Like I understand the difference between touch and sound, like in the common sense.
But based on the logic that you just purported,
yeah.
To you, a sense is defined by a unique particle?
I think it's a unique process that your body does that's different than just merely sensing contact with it.
Once again, yes or no? Are you saying that a sense is defined, whether it like defined as its own sense versus part of another sense, by having its own unique particle associated with it? Are you saying that or no?
I think that it has to have something independent of just touch. I think
Okay.
It's more about the fact that there is something else that you're measuring besides the touch. I think that all the touch that you're measuring, if you can feel light touching your eyes, if you can feel a smell hitting your nostrils, which honestly, sometimes you can tell. You can tell like there's like a thick, like there's a, sometimes like a fart smells richer than, or, you know, some smells can be thinner. Like, I don't know. Just depending on how intense they are on the air or whatever, like you can tell when there's more of it, not just because of the smell. You know what I mean? You can feel it. But I think that independent of the feeling, I think feeling is a sense, and I think we use it.
I think
more
we're
than any-
getting muddled in our words.
No,
too.
I think feeling. No, listen, is a sense.
I do think we're getting muddled in our words. Touch is a sense, right?
Yeah,
feeling is different.
Feeling, like touching.
Touch is a sense. And I think I think that's honestly where a lot of this confusion is coming from.
When I'm saying touch, I'm saying feel is the like what you, when you experience touch, you are feeling it. When you are experiencing smell, you are smelling it. And when you are experiencing taste.
What about pain?
Pain is.
Do you have a sense of pain?
That's interesting. I mean, no.
What do you think that's touch to?
No, because that's feedback. I mean, I don't know. I think there's a better case for pain than for sound.
Okay.
Yeah.
So is pain its own sense?
Pain is interesting because pain is the nervous system distributing chemicals.
All of these are.
But there's like, is there an instrument that detects pain?
An instrument?
Like in your body, like, is there like a thing that's job is just pain? I think no, because I think pain can come from a lot of different places.
No, there is a part of the brain that tells you you are in pain.
Yes, but the input is very, like, it's not like a specialized input. I don't know how to describe
that. Neither is
that. Touch. Touch you is can- not either. Touch is one thing. Like you're touching, right? But like, I'm saying like pain, it's like, there's pain of like, if my knee hurts,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
The stimulus that creates the pain, like it's not really like you're not sensing something from the outside world to tell you you're in pain. It's like your body.
Maybe you aren't.
What right? I mean is like something happened to you.
Maybe.
Something happened to you.
Maybe, yeah.
Something occurred.
Okay.
Yeah. To feel pain.
Like, maybe, yeah.
Definitely. What do you mean maybe?
I don't know. Maybe somebody just gets a fucking phantom pain, right? Like. What if nothing is quote unquote wrong with
that's
them?
You're still like a phantom pain is like you imagining pain. Like you thinking of pain is something occurring.
No. The distinction that I'm trying to make is that even if no one has had nothing happen to them, there are people who unfortunately have that psychological affliction where their pain in their brain, their pain alarms are going off, but nothing has happened to them. There is nothing wrong with them.
Right. But that's what I mean. Like, the external stimuli is so varied that I think that the reason that I'm kind of against saying pain is a sense, and this is just, I'm just spitballing here. This is not science-based. Uh-huh. This is about semantics. This is a semantic argument for me.
Uh-huh.
Like, I think pain is like one step in I think pain is like diagnostic. I don't think it's a sense, because you can't sense pain independent of your own pain.
What?
Like, I can taste anything that's around me, but I can't like make knee pain without fucking up my knee. And the only reason that I know it's knee pain is because I've done damage to my knee.
I don't think that's true.
And my body's telling me that hurts.
Like, yes, that would be the easiest way to give yourself the sensation of knee pain. But people can be hypnotized into thinking that they have something wrong with their knee too.
Sure, sure. But like, there's things that taste like other things too. Like, I just mean like,
yeah.
I just mean that like, there's not like a direct way to create all the different senses of pain. Whereas like taste.
Is there not? Like, yeah. If I wanted to create a sense of pain in your shin, I'd kick you in the shin.
Yeah, but like, you wouldn't be able to like, I don't think there's a way to like guarantee the exact same like pain. Like if I eat if somehow I could create the same candy bar twice, exact same makeup, and you ate it and I ate it, other than our like objective thing inside our brain that's like sort of like deciding what we like and what we don't like about the senses, same exact input, right? We're sensing something
In this hypothetical world, yes, we have had the exact same input.
We're sensing like something that's there.
Okay.
But what's with pain, pain is like sort of like it's almost more like an emotion than it is like, it's almost closer to an emotion. Obviously there's a physical sensation to pain, so it's not just an emotion.
Correct.
But like, something to me, the reason I'm hesitant to say that it's in the same group as
sight and
taste.
Yeah, why?
Is because it's more subjective. Like, it's more like some people.
Aren't the rest subjective as well?
They are subjective, but it's not a direct relationship between the sensation and the input.
Is it not? Once again, if I kick you in the shin, you're going to have pain in the shin.
I'll feel something, but like, for example, like if I give you a chili pepper, I can't like trick you into not tasting it, but like I can be like, look over there and like quickly give you a shot. And the difference of like how that shot would feel while you're trying to see what's coming from over there versus if you were looking at the shot and it going in, it would be very different.
The same thing is applied to blind taste tests. If I told you that you're having the best Coca-Cola you've ever had in your life, because it's super, or the best coffee because it's super imported, blah, 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 you'll convince yourself like, I can taste those differences. But if I reveal that I just made fucking Folgers, all of a sudden you're like, oh shit. Like, I think you can.
But you can break it down and be like, this much sugar equals this much sweetness on your tongue. If it hits this part of the tongue, this much, et cetera. Like, I mean, I feel like, I just feel like there's something less corporeal about the sense of pain. I don't know. Something less.
It's funny you say that, considering that, like, you know, it has to do with the body a lot.
Your body creates it. There's no.
Your body also creates the other senses.
Yeah, but like, you're putting a chemical from outside your body onto the instrument, and then if your instrument's working correctly, it gives you a certain taste. But
the same thing happens with like force, right? Like, if I kick you in the shin, what I'm introducing is force, so much force that it causes a reaction.
Yeah, but you might not even break my leg the same way if you hit me the exact same place twice. Like, I don't know. Like, I think that pain is definitely on the, like, obviously it's like a spectrum of senses.
Maybe, yeah.
Like, if we're going to get like philosophical about it, I think it's hard to like talk in absolutes unless I make some rules and just stick to them.
Right.
But like, yeah, honest answer why I think pain doesn't count is because I think there's something a little bit more conceptual about it than the other ones.
I don't understand why that is, but okay. You know,
that's my feeling.
I don't see a difference, but clearly you do. I wish I understood why you saw a difference, but I don't.
Final answer. I think sound and touch are the same. I think sight and taste are different than touch. And I think that pain and things like pain, like temperature or...
Yeah, I was going to bring up temperature.
Or wetness or...
Yeah, what about temperature?
I think temperature is more of a mix of senses. And I think that's kind of what pain is too. I think pain is a mix of senses. And I think that...
Which senses?
touch.
And which, what else?
And like
taste.
I don't know.
Yeah. What senses would it be?
I think there's another sense that I want to describe that like is another umbrella sense
that we just haven't talked about yet.
Yeah. Because I would say that there is like physical sensation to some emotions too. Like sadness is heavy sometimes, or happiness is energizing.
Now we're getting into the difference between senses and emotions.
Well, but they have effects on your body, and chemicals come out, right? Like, so, and I can touch you and make you happy, or I can make you think of something and make you happy, or whatever. Like, I think I want to say feedback or like sensation separate from touch. I don't know how to describe it. I feel like there's one more sort of like conceptual sense that creates physical feelings in your body that are only conceptual. Like there's nothing about what's wrong with my leg that's creating the pain. It's merely my body telling me that part of my body is injured. You know what I mean? Like,
no, I don't.
Like it's like my computer giving me a pain response to be like, that's bad.
Like an alert system.
Yeah. Like,
but that's how senses work.
Yeah. But like
literally if I taste chocolate, I go, ooh, chocolate. I like that.
Right.
Yeah. Same thing as pain. Like, but ooh, chocolate, something happened here.
You know? Yeah. I don't know. Like,
it's just sensory input.
Yeah. There's no, I don't know how to, I admittedly did not know you were going to ask me this question.
Of course
not. And so I'm just going off my gut a little bit.
Which is what I want.
Yeah. Something conceptually about the fact that some things that we experience are a lot more open-ended to me puts them in like another tier. And I would be happy putting them all in another umbrella of like some sort of sense of like intuition or like, I don't know what to call it. Like I'm trying to think of the good word, but something like sensation or intuition.
Sensation, senses. Yeah, that's all we're talking about. Yeah.
Like some sort of internal sense.
So what's your final count? How many senses do you for? You're like sight, smell, taste.
No, sight, taste, touch.
Yeah, sight, smell.
No, smell and taste are the same.
So sight, olfactory, touching, which includes hearing, and feelings.
Some kind of having a brain feeling.
Great.
Something that I don't think like jellyfish have.
Okay.
You know what I mean? There's like this sense of like what's going on in the body, like self-feedback. That's why I'm saying feedback. Like not like how am I doing, but like guitar feedback, like microphone feedback. Like there's like for some reason I'm here and I have a soul and I can like, or you know, let's not get into that, but like I have an agency of my own. And for some reason, my body needs to tell me things are happening outside of my body as an individual inside my brain. And I think there's a sense there. I think there's some sort of the sense of
intervention. There are many senses that do that.
But yeah, I'm saying I'm trying to describe that as a sense. My sense of like self, I think.
Self-awareness?
It's like self-awareness as if I'm Windows in my own operating system, like on my own hardware.
I feel like you're getting into Pilkington territory.
No, I'm like most life forms aren't self-aware the way we are.
Ooh, interesting.
We're not aware. They're not aware of their own like diagnostics the way we are.
Interesting.
And I think that there's something about the fact that we have that awareness that is like a sense. And I don't know how to describe better than that. And I'm just walking up to something that would require probably lots of debate, but like that's my thought.
Mm.
That's my thought.
Wow, wow, wee, wow.
Yeah.
Thank you. Ted, what's your number? 5?
I don't know.
Ted got tired.
I'm going to go with it's a spectrum.
How many are on that spectrum?
There are many.
How many?
Infinite.
Infinite?
Infinite.
Infinite senses.
Because I could say like maybe memory is a sense. Maybe temperature is a sense.
That's true.
Oh,
memories. Some
people can imagine stuff. Some people can't.
Memory might be the word that I'm looking for, actually. Because the reason that you do things is so that you build data to like not do them again or do them again or whatever, like to store up information to use for later. So maybe that is what it is. Memory. I don't know. Let's get into the fan Q&A. Okay, last week we asked a question, a heavy question. We asked a question, tell us about a time you almost died. That's not a question.
Not a question at all.
More of a demand.
Yeah.
But that's this week's question.
Okay.
I got some replies here. First one is from Phil.
Hi, Phil.
He wrote this. Let me know. Here, you want to scroll yourself?
Do you want me to read what Phil said?
Yeah, read what Phil said.
Okay, so Phil says, back in 01, I was 13 years old, and my dad took me with him to South Africa for a hunting trip.
Wow.
Huh. Right up front, I just want to say that I don't agree with trophy hunting at all, and I was pretty not blah, 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 blah. There were several situations that occurred around us that were extremely dangerous. Could have been potentially deadly. Oh, yeah. First one was a boat ride we took on the Limpopo River on one of the days where they weren't hunting. We were in a little dinghy of a boat that was just big enough for us and the guide that took us. We got to a calm area to stop and look at the wildlife, and the guide turned off the boat's motor. After a few minutes had passed, the guide gave us all a signal to be silent. As that happened, we saw bubbles getting closer and closer to our boat. We heard our guide say, "Shit!" and turn the motor back on to get us away from there. Once we were further away, the guide told us it was definitely a hippo.
Oh my God.
And we were in its territory. Ooh.
Yo.
Do you think, I guess, yeah, I was going to ask, like, do you think merely being in a hippo's territory is almost dying? But if a tour guide says shit.
Those motherfuckers are no joke.
Because Phil wrote all caps shit.
Yeah.
And like when that, to me, that reads as the way I said it.
Yeah, exactly.
And if a tour guide said shit the way that I think that he said shit, yeah, maybe you did almost die.
That's like when the pilot comes on and starts apologizing.
Whew.
Yeah.
Maybe you did almost die. Holy shit, Phil, that's crazy.
Oh, he's got a little bit more.
Phil also says, another thing that happened was one morning I woke up to find something sticking out of the bottom of our cabin's front door. Sticking out of the bottom. Okay.
Like inside, I guess.
We went outside and grabbed a stick and pulled it out from underneath. Turns out it was a spitting, thick tail, black scorpion.
What? That's one like of a trading card.
One of the, yeah. It's like green, black.
Yeah.
One of the deadliest scorpions in Africa that got stuck under our front door and died there in the middle of the night. Oh, poor guy. I would constantly check my shoes before putting them on for the remainder of the trip there. Yeah. After that, you better believe it, man. Wow. So Phil is, stay away from nature,
he's
Phil.
He's Ernest Hemingway, basically.
He's fucking Island Quartermain out there.
That is wild. Yeah.
Thanks, Phil.
South African hunting trip, almost got bodied. You know, we were talking about the Fermi paradox last week,
mm-hmm.
talking about what if civilizations, like if they can just experience it, why go to the real
thing? If they had perfect virtual utopias, why?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If we have Disneyland, like, why do I got to go to the real jungle? You know what I'm saying?
You're right.
It's funnier.
No difference.
It's funnier.
No difference at all.
All right. Next one comes from Tim, who says, not very exciting, but when I was a kid, I had very, very severe asthma and an extreme allergy to secondhand cigarette smoke. Before the allergy was known, we would go to holidays at some relative's house. And in the 80s, that meant everyone was sitting inside chain smoking packs of cigarettes all day, every day, anyway. And then on the holiday, they would all congregate in one place and be smoking all day. Damn. I'm thinking of those like big, like football shaped cigars that are like bulging in the center that like cartoon
shit. Yeah.
That like kind of just like move as they talk. You know what I'm talking about? On one Christmas, we went to my grandma's for dinner, and after a couple of hours, I ended up in a severe allergy asthma attack where I can only really remember being out of breath, lying face down, unable to breathe on the carpet, and then waking up in the ER on oxygen hours later. My parents said that I had stopped breathing and was non-responsive and turning blue on the way to the ER, but I don't remember much. Whew, man. That's like almost death for real. Even after that, it was surprisingly hard to convince family members not to smoke around me, although they would usually go outside to smoke at family events when I was there, but didn't bother before we showed up, so the house was full of smoke anyway.
I fucking hate smoking. Jesus
Christ. Yeah, it's wild that so many, like, I know, like, first of all, it's wild, number one, that so many fewer people do it than when I was a kid, which is wild to me. Smoking used to be all over the place. I used to know 35 kids in my graduating class who like smoke like a fucking chimney. Mm. I don't know anybody who does. I mean, I'm probably just because I'm not in high school, but like, I know like one person who smokes cigarettes these days. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But yeah, holy fucking Christ. Something about like breathing death freaks me the fuck out.
I'll jump on that train. Ditto. Like not being able to, like whether it be like drown, the thought of drowning is utterly chilling to me.
Yeah.
Utterly chilling.
The idea of trying to breathe and not being able to.
Oh.
I think
that's the scary part.
That's
right?
When, the like, up at night one.
When your body, like, it's not even the holding your breath and believing you're about to drown or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, asphyxiate. It's the moment that you know is coming when you know your body will involuntarily be like, you're going to take a breath anyway.
Yeah.
And it's going to fill with whatever shouldn't be in there.
Yeah.
That's bad news.
Apparently, to give you some comfort about drowning.
No, don't do that.
It's quite, you get pretty loopy.
Don't do that. Yeah. I saw one of my favorite movies. They're like early on in the movie, someone's like trying to comfort someone else. And they're like, well, don't worry because like, don't worry that this person you knew drowned because I knew somebody that drowned, almost drowned. And when I asked him after, like, what was it like when you're drowning? He was like, it was like going home. And then later on in the movie, the person's like, oh, I thought you told me that it was like going home. And the first guy was like, I lied. They said it was agony. Isn't that fucked up, dude?
I've also heard the same thing about freezing to death, is that it like rules to freeze to death.
It rules? Like, that's the way to go?
Like, when you die, you, like, start to just, like, trip.
I don't want any of that.
I know. I mean, I don't want to die any of those ways.
I don't want that.
I like to die surrounded by my decades of progeny surrounding me, holding my hands.
I want to die like...
like an old king.
I want to die like fucking Wolverine in Days of Future Past. Like fighting,
just
like
going down,
like fighting for something worth fighting for.
Yeah.
Like I want to die. Kinda. Yeah. Man, that's how that's, I want
to
go.
I ideal way to die literally is like, I got to like fight a guy with a sword.
Yeah. It's like, I want to die fighting like insurmountable odds for something I believe in, flipping, like being super irreverent.
I want to grab the
super irreverent being like, fuck you. You know what I mean?
I want to lean into the sword and like have it go further, and that's how I like kill them too.
Yeah. That's the way. That's the way.
I want that. That's it. A warrior's death, as they call it.
Indeed.
This one is from Alex. This one's for you.
Alex says, I was in a car with my roommates headed home from D&D. From D&D? I was in a car with my roommate. Just kidding. headed home from D&D at another friend's house. We just left the residential area and we're pulling onto the highway. And I feel this warmth and numbness spreading through my left arm. Bad.
Uh-oh.
And a pressure building in my skull.
Oh, no.
I'm thinking to myself, it's the dead of winter. It's late. I have a generous amount of caffeine in my system. There are a lot of things this could be.
I think we're all thinking the same thing.
And then out of nowhere, the sensation I've never experienced before or since blooms inside my head, spreading this hot buzzing throughout.
What the fuck?
Is this a stroke? My heart races. My chest grows tight and painful. I feel like I'm going to throw up. This sounds like a heart attack.
Yeah.
The left side of my face. Oh, yeah. This is a heart attack. The left side of my face feels like it's starting to melt off my face. Wait a minute. Maybe this is a stroke. Yeah. I tell my roommates that I need to go to the ER now. They take me to the ER, but it's COVID times. Oh, this was recent.
Damn.
Oh, shit.
So then they have to leave me there alone. I'm shivering, clutching my chest, my breathing ragged and unstable, all alone in an emergency room, waiting for death to take me.
Oh, alone, dude?
Oh. I don't know if this is a heart attack or a stroke. Okay. Well, those are our front runners.
If you were critical, they would not put you in the waiting room.
I don't fucking know. Heart attack or stroke. Remember, this is COVID times.
Oh, yeah.
But all I can think of is that I'm going to die before anyone can help me. The worst situation. Finally, I'm taken in for an EKG. My chest is x-rayed. My vitals are constantly monitored by the graveyard shift medical professionals. I vaguely hear nurses I think I recognize say things like mitochondrial infection.
Oh, my God.
My mind races, begging to know what's going on.
So it was a heart attack?
I can't stop muttering to myself, alternately trying to convince myself that I'm going to be okay, and this is where it all ends. And then a realization strikes me.
Oh my God.
I had like four of my... What's with the ellipses? Why would he write that?
Shame.
And then let me tell you what he wrote. I had like ellipses. Four of my friend's weed gummies an hour before we left D&D. And I'd never been high before.
Oh my God.
You fucking doo-doo. What are you doing? This is me having what I later learned was my first ever panic attack as reaction to getting way too high all at once. Yeah. Damn, that sounds like he ate all four at once, too.
Schnozberries.
Like it was just like,
fuck.
That's what everybody does. They're like, this doesn't fucking work.
Don't do that. Don't do that.
Or I like these. Yum.
They are delicious. I'm not dying. I'm just stoned and don't know how to handle it. I had my roommates drive me to the ER at 9 p.m., sat there till 4 a.m., all because I got way too high too suddenly. So that's fascinating. And I want to go back up.
That's the potheads. Hear those hubris.
Let's see. I feel this warmth and numbness spreading through my left arm and a pressure building in my skull.
Yeah.
He knew exactly what I wanted. He knew exactly what I wanted. Yeah. He turns to me. He's like, that tracks so far.
Yeah. I mean, look, the numbness in the left arm, pressure building inside my skull.
Numbness in left arm is something I've never heard of.
It's not like just in your left arm. I think what this is.
Numbness in the extremities, tingling.
Yeah. Well, like, yeah. I mean, granted, this is edible, so I can't like say so accurately. Mm-hmm. But like sometimes when you get high, it changes your blood pressure briefly.
Uh-huh.
Either up or down, depending on how much you do drugs.
Okay. What about the pressure building in the skull? Does that track?
Yeah. So there's a thing called headband. Have you ever heard this term?
No.
It's just like sometimes it's like how some people get like really red eyes.
A little head swimmy.
It's literally like it feels like you have a headband on. It's like a pressure, like it's literally like some sensation in your brain happens that makes it literally the feeling of wearing like a little headband, like a little sweatband around your head.
So you think that's what it was? Okay.
Like a little hat on your head, like a little yarmulke.
Well, then this guy says, Alex says, the sensation I've never experienced before blooms inside my head. Okay. Spreading this hot buzzing. Hot buzzing?
Hot buzzing.
Just took too much weed.
Hot buzzing. I think I'm dead. Basically, yeah. Here's the thing about pot. You have to learn how to use it.
Yeah, of course.
And so what this is, number one, I do know there is like a physical sensation. A lot of weed has CBD in it, for example, that like kind of gives you like a physical sensation. And a lot of the indica strains make you feel kind of, oh, no, you know, like slow-mo, heavy kind of stuff. But I think really for people, like the real thing that happens when you're on drugs and you don't notice, especially on weed and you don't notice it, is that you hyper-focus in a way that you are not used to.
Yeah.
Because that's kind of like what it does to your brain.
Mm, I feel you.
And so you might not realize that you're hyper-focusing and you'll be like, this is really-
No, this is extraordinary.
This is really uncommon. This is like a weird pain. But you know, the older you
get- But that's my question. Hot buzzing? Does that track? Like, does that track because, no, this is new hot buzzing? Or does that track because, oh no, you're just
focused in? I mean, it's been a while since I've been like, what's this?
Do you remember ever any sensation of hot buzzing?
Yeah, 100%. Like,
oh, for real? Okay.
High school high? Yeah.
Hot buzzing.
Yeah. Okay. Like it radiates through your whole body. And sometimes you feel things, you know, like when you can feel your heartbeat sometimes, like if you're like laying a certain way, you can kind of like,
yeah, I'm a fat man. I get all the time.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like all the time. That feeling, but it's not your heart sometimes. And it like radiates out through your whole.
Hot buzzing.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I think we're going to stop there because we still got to ask this week's question, which we will answer first. And then you guys can write in your responses, patreon.com/superbeardbros. Do you have a question?
Yeah.
For this week?
Yeah. What sense that we don't have do you wish that we did have? Like something animals have, you know?
That's good.
Por ejemplo.
Yeah.
I would love if we had echolocation.
Like Daredevil style, like, and you just like can see more.
Yeah. Not that you can see, spatial. But like you can hear so well that your brain, there's certain animals whose brains are set up to pick up such specific sound patterns that they get a virtual sense of space based on that sound.
Does telepathy count?
It would, but like no animals have that.
Okay.
Unless they do.
Okay. How about this? How about this? Like kind of like what Peter Parker has, like the power that nobody really talks about that he has of like, I mean, spider sense.
Yeah. They
like,
talk about it all the time.
But Alex. Like, what is spider sense? People don't really think about Spider-Man having this ability.
So you're not choosing something. So you're choosing another superpower.
Well, no. I just mean, I have hair on my arms and, you know, I'm a hairy guy And I wish that I could like kind of feel like I could like pick up more like of an array of vibrations with my body hair in a way where I could like sort of
you're
like,
talking about, you wish you're like, you had a sense of touch that was so sensitive you could pick up like shifts in the wind and shit.
Yeah, I wish I really had that extra awareness and like so I could predict when somebody's gonna like.
Yeah. I could, so you're talking about like, I'm talking about even more sensitive ears. You're talking about even more sensitive like skin.
Yeah, like
shit.
Really good reaction time, real good like sensitivity. I would really like that.
Like skin, like,
yeah,
like feeling the wind and shit shift. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I feel that.
Skin right. And nervous system kind of team up.
I hope you guys let us know which animal senses you wish we
what
had.
What about you, Ted?
Oh, what sense?
Yeah, if you could have a sense that you don't have.
God, I don't know. Sense I wish I had.
Common. Common sense.
Oh, common. Like what it's like to be like a famous rapper / actor who's
the common
successfully
sense.
Crossed.
Very handsome. Very handsome.
I think it would be perfect pitch.
Ooh.
That's pretty good too.
That's interesting. Were we talking about? We were talking about that today. Yeah, I don't even know if that's so much a sense.
Isn't it?
Nah, because
it's a, well, debatable.
No, because it's a language. It's more like a language. Like, you know how you can like learn French? You can learn perfect pitch. You can learn that.
Well, but like those birds, right? Like minor birds and stuff. They're like,
yeah, but they don't know. They don't go, that's a G. Wee. Like, they don't know that.
Yeah, they know it.
They don't do that. You know,
they don't say it, but maybe they know it.
They pop up. They can't talk, but they know.
Okay, but here's what I mean. They can perfectly mimic stuff.
But so can I. Like, that's.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Yeah, fuck that bird. I'm special too. Like, I can do that.
Perfect pitch, though. I wish I had it.
So do I.
Yeah.
What about that super perfect pitch, though?
I don't want that.
Yeah, I want that.
I do not.
Oh, Montana wants that?
Why do you want that? You're already so like detail oriented. I think that would like blow your brain. I think you'd be pissed. You'd be like, please turn off that music. I don't care what it is.
That is likely true.
No one's good enough for me. No one's good enough at playing instruments for me anymore.
Which relates back to another sense that could be a sense. I don't know which of your four umbrellas you would lump it under, but there's the sense of time and rhythm, right?
Oh.
Like, because you know how some people like, we all have a sense of time. We all know like, that's about 5 minutes, right?
Yeah.
Like a lot of us have that. But then there's the weird freaks who can be like, we're like, especially drummers, right? We like tap out 200 beats per minute. I would never in my life would I be able to do that. Like tap out 200
perfect
BPM.
Perfect timing.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like, no, I would.
I put that in the.
But some people could just fucking do
that. I put that in the memory.
Memory?
The memory core.
The memory core of the.
My brain is an emulator.
Memory.
My brain is
my
a
sense of memory.
You know what I'm saying? That one that I was trying to name earlier. Oh, I think it goes in the under
it
that.
It goes
umbrella.
In there.
Guys, this has been another episode of Super Beard Show. Thank you guys so much for listening. If you want to get involved, if you want to send your silly stories in to have us sort of discuss and sort of make fun of and pick apart, head to patreon.com/superbeardbros. You can also title the show there. You know, you can suggest titles and well, you know how the show goes. We do all kinds of weird little bits and bobbles all the time, and we'll be coming to you for those regularly. So please head over there. Thank you for your support. Thank you for listening. Please subscribe. Please leave a great 5-star rating on your favorite podcast app and tell your friends about us because we would love that. I'm Alex.
My name is Brett.
And I'm Ted.
And we'll see you next time.
Thank you, everybody.
Peach.
Bye. Benford's Law. I want to like prepare something and like bring it.
You want to do a TED episode?
Kinda.